Our scripture reading for today is taken from one of the Psalms, Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. And here the believer is praying and speaking to God. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. This thing that we call life, your life, is an interesting thing, isn't it? Who came up with this? Who came up with this idea that you should get to have a life? What does it mean to have a life? You didn't get to decide when you'd be born. Did you get to decide where you'd be born? Who your parents would be? Sure wouldn't have picked them. Did you get to decide who your siblings would be? You didn't get to decide any of that. You didn't get to decide how tall you would get to be, what hair color you would naturally have, what your teeth would line up like, your eye color, whether you'll lose your hair someday. A lot of different possible things that may happen to your body someday. You didn't get to pick any of that. Didn't get to make any decisions about that. But here you are. Here's your life. This is your life. All of a sudden, you're in this thing. You come out of your mom, and there's your life. And it's like you just showed up, and now this whole thing is laying out in front of you. It's really quite an interesting and fascinating thing when you think about it, this thing that we call life. So what was this, just random? Was this just some accident that happened, and here you are? Was there some enormous explosion billions of years ago, and that just caused a chain reaction, and sure enough, here you are. Here's your life. This is you. Was there just some big bang that created you? Bazinga, as Sheldon says. So that's it. That's your life. That's who you are. That's what it's all about. If that's true, if that's really true, you're just matter. You're just atoms and molecules and chemicals that are somehow smashed together to form this body you have and this mind you have. If it's really true that that's what you are and where you came from, then there really is no right or wrong. There really is no such thing as evil. There's really no such thing as a soul. There's no such thing as a conscience. There's no such thing as a heart. There's really no such thing as justice. It's all made up then. Because if it's all just some accidental happening and that's what your life is and there's no real reason or purpose to it, then that's all it is. And then what happens? So then you keep going through this thing called life, and your body starts to wear out, and you start to look old like me, and you start to break down, and you start to have health problems, and you end up in a old people's home, and then they finally, you die. This body stops, and they just throw you in a grave, and apparently that's it. That's life. So is that life? Is that what life is? Is that all it is? Pretty different when compared to what we see in the words of the psalm in front of us. By the way, what I've just described is the way our culture and our world tells us to look at life. You want to know why people are depressed? You want to know why people feel like their life has no meaning or purpose or value? This is it. If that's what you're taught, if you're taught that you're nothing more than an animal that's a little smarter than the raccoon that crawls out of the sewer, but that's all you are, that's pretty depressing. No wonder people are walking around in this world feeling completely empty and void of purpose and meaning in life. That's what we teach them to think in our culture. Listen to how different the psalmist writes about, and as he expresses his faith to God. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. My mother-in-law used to sit and knit little baby blankets. She'd make a different one for each of her grandchildren. and her hands touched every piece of yarn as she knit those together. What a picture the Bible gives us about how you were made, how unique you are as a person. None of our fingerprints are even identical. We're completely different from each other, every one of us. It's quite a different perspective, isn't it, when we hear words like this from how we're taught to think of life from our culture. It's quite a different way, a different aerial view, if you will, of who you are as a person and what this thing called life is really to be all about. According to this, there is a God. There is somebody who made you. There's somebody who designed you uniquely, different from everybody else. According to this, there's a plot and a reason to your life. Your days have been set and established and ordained in heaven by this Almighty God. According to this, you do have a soul. You have a conscience. You do know right and wrong. You understand evil. You know what sin is. I sure do. When I look at my life and some of the things that I've done and things in my past, I realize how often I have failed to live the way I should. That thing inside of us that pricks at us like that, that's called a conscience, that's been put there by God. It's to help us realize our fallen condition as sinful people. And when I look ahead and realize that in this life, all I've got waiting for me is a grave, that's pretty depressing. But thanks be to God, the view that the psalmist is expressing is this, that God sees my miserable condition in this world and has decided to do something about it. It's displayed for you in the three panels of the painting behind me. He decided, I'm going to enter the world and enter real human history. And so he sends his own son, Jesus Christ, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to grow up and to live a perfect life in our place, to go and die on the cross, to receive the just punishment due for all of my guilt, all of your guilt, to pay for every one of the sins we've ever committed, so that by his blood I can stand here today on behalf of God and declare to everybody, your sins are entirely wiped away before God. And through faith in what he's done, you not only have your sins forgiven, but just like the third panel depicts that he has risen from the dead and defeated death, the same will happen for us. Those who believe in him will live, will come back to life again. Our bodies will be revivified. We will be given life and taken to heaven, and where we will live there forever in God's presence. That's quite a different view of life. That's a whole different aerial view of how you look at life. That's what this college is about. It's what this building is about. It's what these little 15-minute services are about every day on our campus. Back in the 300s, some Christians in the early church decided to write a song about all of this and to put it into a confession, if you will, a statement of what this faith means and all of the beauty that it means for us. It became known as the Te Deum. I'm going to let our choir today finish our devotion. And they're going to sing on behalf of the church from way back 1700 or 1800 years ago, how Christians through the years have looked at life so differently.